Trick or treat, baby.
This is Samantha Legend, your host for this edition of The People Speak. Our guest tonight is Michael Myers, a.k.a. Tyler Mane, actor, wrestler, and stuntman. Tyler Mane has portrayed some interesting characters and is well known for his co-starring role as Sabretooth in X-Men, Troy with Brad Pitt, Devil's Rejects by Rob Zombie, Scorpion King with The Rock, a fellow wrestler. He has also starred in the epic 2005 miniseries Hercules for HBO Hallmark, and has done television shows such as VIP with Pamela, Monk, and My Boys. Most recently, Tyler has portrayed the masked stalker in Rob Zombie's adaptation of Halloween. Happy Halloween, Tyler, and happy Halloween to the People Speak, and happy belated birthday.
Well, hello, how are you?
Wonderful. It's great to have you here.
Hey, it's good to be here, day before Halloween. I love it. That's fantastic. Every time I hear that music, I just get so jazzed up, you know?
It's intense. I know. It's great music. I never thought I'd be wishing Happy Halloween to Michael Myers. But let's see. I have heard some wonderful things about you. And I have questions for you.
Okay, fire away.
Okay. I want to know, who were your heroes growing up?
Who were my heroes growing up?
Yes.
My parents.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was looking at, like, an actor side, I'd have to say, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger and people like that. I mean,
more so like Superman or Batman or Spider-Man. Which one were you?
Well, you know what? I really, that would be hard to say.
All three.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I like watching them all. I didn't do much reading of the comic books and things like that when I was a kid. But, I mean, any TV show or cartoon like that, I was watching it and into them, you know?
Oh, okay. Cool. What was your favorite film?
What was my favorite film? To do
yeah.
or to...
In any genre.
My favorite film in any genre that I personally enjoy watching?
Yes,
would have
yes.
To,
your favorite film. I mean, something that you grew up going, oh, this is a great film.
You know, like, if for horror, it's The Shining. That is so
really?
Intense and awesome. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Some parts of your movie... remind me of it when you're walking down the hall and you're coming towards you. It's terrifying.
Yeah, that was pretty intense,
terrifying.
Wasn't it? You just saw the movie last night, right?
Huh?
You just saw the movie last night, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm still scared.
You're still scared? Woo.
I'm still scared. I'm still hyped. I'm serious. Woo. Okay, were you a fan of the original Halloween?
I had seen the original Halloween way back when, but I wasn't, like when it came out in 78, I wasn't that big of a horror buff fan until just recently, because they just scared the living daylights out of
me. That to you, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like, I didn't watch all that many horror films, but I did watch it when it first came out. I had no idea when I was signing on to do this that there were so many of them, you know, and it's kind of like a good thing because it's the same with X-Men. I didn't know the fan following that the X-Men had when I signed on to it, just like this with the Halloween franchise.
Man, there's just such a following.
Oh, it's unbelievable. The fans are fantastic. You know, it's just, I constantly get emails every day from fans and it's kind of really cool because they really liked what I did with the Michael Myers character, so that kind of makes me feel good, you know, from the when the diehard fans can say, hey, man, you did a great job bringing Michael Myers back to life. It makes you feel real good, you know?
Oh, my God, you did. You did. You did a fantastic job. Let's see, who were your favorite monster movies to watch as a kid? Yeah.
I mean, I used to watch the Munsters.
You never really watched them, right? So
I never really watched it. I watched the Munsters. You know?
Me too. I love that show.
Yeah, you know.
I loved it. I loved it in the Addams Family.
And the Addams Family, yep. You know,
I mean,
that's the thing.
It.
Like when I was a kid growing up, we had like an hour and a half lunch hour back in Canada. So I'd run home because at 12 o'clock they would start having the Munsters or the Addams Family for part of the year, and then they'd switch to the Flintstones, which was really kind of cool.
Man.
So I'd wait for them and watch that at lunch.
You're doing
and,
good.
Yeah, you know.
Oh
so,
man. I love the Munsters.
Okay, let's see. What was your favorite costume that you wore when you were a kid for Halloween? Boy, that's a tough one. I used to, like, I was really big into cowboys and Indians.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I'd wear my cowboy hat and my six shooters, yeah. You know, so probably, I'd have to say a cowboy.
Oh, cute. Okay, I want to ask you this.
All right.
Do you remember Underoos?
Underoos?
Do you remember those little Underoos that people would wear? Were you like little underwears that had like Spider-Man or Superman? Were you like a Spider-Man or a Superman Underoo guy?
I was not an Underoo guy.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Sorry, I know. I know. I feel so, I don't know, left out, missed out on that.
No, you didn't miss out on anything on childhood. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's,
maybe,
you know,
well,
it's just a thing.
If anything, I missed out on getting scarred for life, knowing that I had, you know, whatever. we won't go there.
you could have actually had to say that. Okay, who are your favorite actors? You began to say a second ago, but who are your favorite actors?
Favorite actors? I used to watch, like, a lot of action movies, like, when I was growing up and stuff like that. And because I started my professional career as a professional wrestler, so I was always heavy into the action and watching stuff like that. But I'd have to say, like, I really like watching Arnold Schwarzenegger do his thing. But then, you know, and looking at it performance-wise, I just, I have to say someone like Ian McKellen, Brian Cox. I just got done seeing Ian McKellen do King Lear here in Los Angeles last week, and it was phenomenal, you know?
Mm.
I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, so did your parents and siblings, like, how did they view your career?
Well, you know, in the beginning when I told my father that I was going to go into pro wrestling, he was a little skeptical, you know, to say the least. But he was in the school board administration and things like that. So when I said, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to be a pro wrestler," it was kind of like, "Okay, now what are we going to talk about?" But then, you know, once he saw my first match and everything, and he saw and all the teachers and everything at school were like, "Wow, your kid's a pro wrestler," then he kind of was like, "Okay, this is a cool thing," you know.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then when I started getting into the films and things like that, it's kind of neat, you know. But my family definitely keeps me grounded. They remind me who I am and where I came from. So it's all good.
Okay, so how do you separate your on-screen persona from your public persona?
How do I separate it?
Yeah, I mean, do you ever come home that you can't release the character and you end up coming home and acting like He-Man or Hercules?
No.
You come home to your wife and you're like, hey, baby, you know, I don't know, just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's...
Do you come home stabbing your family?
Yeah.
Was it hard to control?
Yeah, I was like, you know, I just walked in the front door with the butcher knife and my kids take off running, you know? It's just like...
Oh, yeah. I would.
No, I mean, it's just something that, you know, you learn to do and you figure out and you know, you just learn to separate them.
Yeah, I think it just, I mean, you got to develop. I mean, I was reading in your bio, you got to just kind of, like, develop into it, you know. You went from wrestling into acting, and you played a wrestler in one of your movies. So that was a great natural transition, I'd say.
Yeah, it was. It was actually very good that I had an opportunity to do that so I could realize and understand, you know, just what was involved with the acting. Because with wrestling, you know, I mean, back when I was wrestling, nothing was scripted and anything like that. So it was a nice transition, nice stepping stone.
Yeah, as far as like, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's it. Go ahead.
No, as far as your transitions go, I mean, you went into the martial arts, you know, because you were being picked on as a kid, right? Well,
yeah.
The martial arts, I mean, that's got to be such an amazing transition for you. I mean, because of your great height, you developed such control over your body through martial arts, you know?
Yeah, anything that I've done has been always physical. You know, I did like 9.5 years of martial arts and played semi-pro.
That's
football.
A lot of
time. Was going to play pro and stuff, and then with all the wrestling. So you learn your body, you figure out how you want to move and things like that, and you become very in tune with your body. So, you know, that's all definitely helped in that aspect, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'd imagine. Gosh. Because, I mean, you're 6'8". I mean, that's...
Yeah, but
really
then with all that I've been through, I feel like I'm 90 now, though.
Why is that? Just from the abuse that you've taken and wrestling and
the punishment that you put yourself through.
Or did your wife
just
beat you up every day?
Yeah.
You know, wait,
no,
damn,
it was, it's with all the years of the wrestling and you know, the martial arts and things like that, it all takes its toll on you. But, you know, like I say, it was all a stepping stone to get where I am. And you know, here we are. We're talking about the Halloween movie I was just in. So everything happens for
wonderful.
A reason, you know?
It's so wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so when you were taking the karate... Did you end up, like, being those kids that walked like the Karate Kid that bounced or something? Or were you just, like, you know, rolling off your feet like the Karate Kid?
Yeah, I just wax off all the time. Yeah. No, I learned very quickly from my sensei that you don't go around showing off and pushing the envelope, so to speak. There was one kid in my karate that did do that, and he ended up getting a lesson taught to him by the instructor. So I learned, it's just, okay, we're going to just take it nice and easy type of thing. So.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into a bit of your character here. When you observed the portrayals of Michael prior, were you able to pick up and choose the gestures and the nuances to make him your own and make him more terrifying?
Yeah, well, I mean, in the past, Michael Myers has basically been a one-dimensional character, walking around and just stabbing and walking. But there were some... And when you're performing in a mask that you can't show facial expressions, really, it is tough. And I figured, how am I going to do this? So there are the certain things like the head tilts and the way Michael walks and things like that that I brought to it. But then I wanted to also kick it up a notch and make it more intense, you know, because he basically become a cliche character that was just like, oh, you know, and not taken too seriously. I wanted to bring back the intense level to the character, and I think I did.
You
know? Yeah.
You brought it back. Oh, you did more than bring it back. I have to say, you are the new and improved, more terrifying Michael.
Oh, well,
so,
thank you. So then
yeah,
I did my
did
job.
It right.
There we go.
Okay, playing Michael. I think your height had of 6'8" would be a tremendous asset. I mean, do you feel the same?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, well, first of all, Rob wrote the Halloween with me in mind from me working with him on The Devil's Rejects. And he had always pictured me as Michael Myers while he was writing it and doing it. So, you know, he had it in mind that that is what he wanted. Some of the hardcore fans, and there's probably still some out there that say I was too tall and too whatever for the character, but then once, you know, they see the pictures and see the movie, you know, then they've come around to it. But, you know, some people probably think it's that I was still a little bit too tall for the character, but that's their opinion, you know what I mean?
Oh, man, I think it was wonderful. I think your height was such an asset. I mean, seriously, there's nothing more terrifying than imagining somebody towering over you. And you tower, you know, just having, like, a character standing over you, like, you know, if you're laying down, is just towering, you know. And then you're towering over people standing up. I mean, that's got to be, I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty intense, wasn't it?
Yeah, you were so intense. Okay, so do you view Michael Myers as human, superhuman, or non-human?
You know, the way I approach the role is he's a human being.
Okay.
Yes, he is a psychopath and a mass murderer, but it's the way he looks at the world that is different. And, I mean, any time you analyze anybody like that, like a Bundy or any one of those murderers, you know, there is some kind of either chemical imbalance or everything. And just the way that they were raised, too, and the way they see the world. And so that's
mm-hmm.
the way I approach the character. He's very human. And he's very misunderstood.
But the person that was taking care of you all this time, I mean, you know, the guard, I mean, he took care of you, and then you go and kill him. I felt
well,
so sorry for him. I was like, how? Why? I don't know.
Yeah, but, well, you know, he was standing in front of me in the door, so I had to get to the door.
Yeah.
And so he needed to die, you know? What can I say?
You are in the way of my goal. I will kill you.
Exactly.
Okay,
you know, he's going to punch that clock in. He should have stayed at home.
Really? As soon as he saw anyone was there, just go home. Okay,
yeah,
well, people
are
running hard for you, and you just take your time. You know, you just kind of, they're running, and they're all scared, and you're just like, you know, walking on, you know, so strong, so scary. You take your time to get there, and then bam, you know, walls are gone, bathroom stalls are down, and they're dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's, you just got to do what you got to do.
It looked so much like you really just took down those bathroom stalls with your strength. I mean, it's
well,
so literal.
That with the Big Joe Grizzly, that turned out to be pretty intense that day of shooting. You know, he said, okay, we want to kick it up a notch, and I'm like, oh God, no, please don't. But so he was going to push Michael, and Michael had to push back, you know. So
Michael
dug in his heels and threw him through the toilet stall.
This is real that you like how he really busted that.
That got tore up for real. Yeah, they had fake stuff to bring in for us to break, but we didn't need to. After our first take, it was all tore up, and we came walking out of the room, and Rob was just standing there by the monitor, you know, with his jaw hanging open. He goes, "Damn, that looked real."
Oh my God, yes.
We're both all beat up and go, because it was. So, yeah. And then we had to do it a couple more times. Yeah.
That was abusive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anytime you're doing a physical movie like that, you're going to get your bumps and bruises. But that day was pretty intense. For a while there, I'd even thought that I'd broken my wrist.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah. But, you know, the medic just gave me some ice, and it was all good. Finished the day of shooting, and swelling went down, so...
I would be surprised if you were like Rambo and just decided to, if you got a cut, just kind of sew it up yourself. I really wouldn't be surprised. Okay, well, bullets didn't kill you. And you leaped buildings, you leaped off there, you know. You're like a serial killer Superman.
Well, no, just very motivated.
Yeah, motivated to kill.
You know, just very motivated, yeah. You know, the way I look at Michael Myers is he is a great white shark, and nothing is going to get in his way and what he wants to do.
You know what? That's a great analogy.
Yeah, you know,
that's,
I mean, it's...
Yeah,
seriously. Wow. That's the way it was. The shark was coming in for the kill, and it doesn't matter what you try to do, you're not going to get away from it. You know?
God. It was so scary.
So that's the way I approached it, too.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, you do. I mean, it is like that because you were, you know, you're cruising through, you know, nothing got in your way. Knocked down walls. Okay, it's in my way. Bam, bam. Oh, man. And the sound of the movie was great. There's nothing like watching it in the theater. It's... The pounding, the scariness. Ooh.
Yeah, it was intense.
You look so powerful going through the walls. Oh, my God. And that scene near the end where she's in the attic and you're pounding up with a stick. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Well, I had to get her
so
down.
Brutal.
Yeah, I had to get her down. I knew she was up there, so I had to just, you know.
Man, I mean... Oh, that was rough.
Yeah, and you know, and that was that. Rob just thought of that a couple of days before we shot it. He goes, "What would really look cool?" And you know, he was just saying, "Okay, well, can you guys build me a fake ceiling that we can tear up and stuff?" And they go, "Yeah, we can have it ready in a couple of days." He goes, "Okay, make it." And then we just came up with that, and it was intense, and it turned out really well.
Man, that was brilliant. Okay, I was in a film a few months back, and I was wearing a mask. Mm. And you feel that separation from reality? Complete, like, surreal? Did you feel that? Did you feel, like,
yeah,
the separation
you know,
from everything going on?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I definitely felt like I could hide behind the mask and do whatever I wanted to. You know, and that's kind of like why Michael Myers put the mask on in the first place. It's because he wanted to hide himself from society, and he wanted to, you know, distance himself because he felt he was ugly and he felt the world was, you know, attacking him or whatever. And You do kind of get that feeling when you have a mask like that on. And, you know, I wore it just about every day for 2.5 months straight. So it's kind of, you know, it kind of grows on you, so to speak, you know?
Yeah.
It got to the point where when I took it off, I almost felt naked, you know?
Yes. Let's see. We have a caller on the line with a question.
All right.
We have Asima from Michigan with a question for you.
All right.
Massimo, could you give us your question, please?
Yeah, hi, everybody. Thank you, Tyler. It's a pleasure talking to you, although it has not been a pleasure knowing you throughout. And I've only seen bits and pieces of the movies, only because I have usually had my head covered under a blanket, screaming in terror. I can't honestly say that I witnessed the character as much. I think the fear that you evoke is very powerful. Your statement that that Michael Myers was kind of like a great white shark, determined to do what he needed to do. Do you find that same determination takes over your career and helps you, considering where you came from, the fact that you were bullied as a child, and that maybe the mask that you wear of power is kind of a mimic of that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, to some degree, for sure. You know, I mean, it's when you go out into public, and if you're in the public like I am, you do have a different kind of persona than, but I am basically mainly just myself, you know. But, yeah, you definitely hide behind a certain persona. You want to create a certain situation. And with the 11 years of pro wrestling, you know, always playing the bad guy, you have a certain attitude that people perceive you as having, and it's not really true all the time.
Well, thank you for answering my question, and you do a great job. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
And happy Halloween.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween to you,
too. Thank you for the question. Okay, we have Michael from New York with a question.
All right.
Michael, could you give us your question, please?
Michael, talk to me.
Scary. Oh, man. That's scary.
Michael.
Okay, he probably scared.
Where'd he go? He ran off.
The bike. I think he just scared him, and he just like ran or something.
Your depiction of Michael in the last movie was without doubt one of the best I've ever seen. I actually relate it to the original Michael Myers in the original movie, which was without doubt one of the best. I have two questions. First off, how do you compare yourself to the man behind Jason Voorhees' masks for four of the 11 films, Kane Hodder? And would you ever portray Jason if given the opportunity?
Well, you know, those are very good questions. I know Kane. He's a great guy. I'm not going to say anything about anybody's ability or acting or whatever, because I think he does a great job. He's, you know, fantastic at doing that. If I got the opportunity to play Jason, I would love to have that opportunity, and I think I could bring another whole new dimension to that character as well, just like I did with the Michael Myers. I'd love the opportunity.
Great. We have Mike from California on the line. Could you go ahead and give your question to Tyler, please?
Mike. I can't hear you, man.
Mike.
Thank you
scary.
Very much, Mike Tyler.
From Mike.
Thank you so much for your appearance here on the show. My question for you is, how did you view the Michael Myers character? Was he still human, or was he like just totally evil as that the doctor used to characterize him as? Because it seems like he had an evolution from being a problem child to a very seriously disturbed psychotic to something that grew into something superhuman evil. Would Michael Myers ever cry or show compassion in your point of view? Thank you.
You know, the way I approach the character is Michael Myers is very human. The way he perceives and sees things is totally different to a normal person. I mean, you could throw a rubber mask and a butcher knife to 100 different people, and 99.999% of them won't do the things that Michael Myers has done. Yes, he has a chemical imbalance and something is driving him totally different than a normal human being. And as far as showing emotion,
we have distortion.
What was that?
I was talking distortion.
As far as you know, showing emotion and asking if Michael Myers would ever cry, you know, there is that moment in the film where I am trying to reconnect with Laurie Strode and let her know that I am her big brother and that we are family, because, I mean, that's basically what Michael Myers' whole journey was, is to reunite with his family, the only person that he had left after Loomis gave up on him in the insane asylum. So, yeah, I mean, he does show emotion. It's behind the mask, and it's hidden in his own little world.
Hmm.
So I hope that answers your question.
That was a really great answer. Did you plan ahead on how you would walk or move or stare, and what motivated or inspired you to make Mike so darn terrifying?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I the first thing that I did when I read the script is I broke it down and figured out the beats and figured out what I kind of wanted to do and how I wanted to approach it to make Michael Myers as scary and intimidating and intense as possible. And there's certain parts in the movie where I was able to do that and take the extra little beats and the extra moments. And I'm hoping when the director's cut comes out, a little bit more of the nuances and things that I brought to Michael Myers will be on the DVD. The last day of shooting,
awesome.
Rob had a rough cut of the movie. And it was 3 hours and I think 50 minutes. And, of course, he had to cut it down. Had to cut it down to like an hour and 30 minutes, 90-minute film. So there was a lot of pieces there that had to go, but they all were very interesting to watch and very intricate. So, you know, who knows? It was a lot of fun being able to bring the character to life and you know, create him and make Michael Myers more than a one-dimensional character. And like I say, you know, with the mask on, it's very hard to do. It's all about body language and body movement and movement like that.
Yeah, you did excellent job. Why do you think Zombie chose to do the adaptation of Halloween? I mean, out of the choices that he had.
Well, you know, I mean, it was it was a franchise that had become kind of cliche, and no one or none of them had really explained Michael Myers enough, you know? It was almost kind of like, okay, we're going to do this movie about babysitters, and, oh, we need somebody to terrify him. Let's throw this guy in there, call him the Shape, and he'll be Michael Myers, you know?
Yeah.
Rob wanted to give the character more depth and give kind of a prequel to what happened and explain a bit about Michael Myers and show how he became a product of his environment and how things happened the way they did.
It just seems like he used your life as being bullied and picked on as a child just ran with it.
Yeah, I mean,
did he know this prior, who was working on the script and just kind of wrote that in?
Well, I mean, let's face it, you know, what kind of person is going to turn out to be driven and crazy? It's going to be a person who is picked on and bullied, and I mean, look at Michael Myers, man. I mean, he couldn't have wrote it any better. He was picked on in school. His mom was a stripper that, you know. Wow. I mean, he did a fantastic job writing it and putting it all together. But then again, still, you know, I mean, as for myself being picked on and things like that, Michael Myers had something else there. He had the messed up chemical imbalance or something that set him over the top.
You don't want to mess with somebody with a chemical imbalance.
No, you
don't. Get medicated, please. Well, my favorite line is in the movie was that exterior, interior factors are creating the perfect storm. It just seems so, I don't know, it seems so right, I mean, to create such a battle in the mind.
Well,
you know,
that's it. You know, it's the external and internal forces, we're all aligned there to create that kind of person, you know, and it just was what it was. I mean, you can't explain. People always try to figure out people like that. You can't explain them. You can't figure out what turns them the way they turn out to be, you know?
Okay, yeah. Well, we have another caller. We have Mike from California. And Mike, what is your
Mike
question?
Mike from California?
We had Mike, but apparently we have Mike again.
Okay, we got another Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. Fire away, Mike. What's on?
No, it's the same Mike. I got back through. Tyler,
cool.
You know, I've never really seen you in many other films, but after hearing you on this interview, I'm surprised at how, like, I mean, your voice and everything, you're huge and everything, but you really sound like a cool person. You sound very sensitive, very passionate, and, wow, you're not at all threatening. Do you ever get that a lot from people?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's...
Are you the 6'8" teddy bear?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I am. It's, I don't know, it has to do with, I guess, my upbringing, you know, being from Canada, and just, I don't take myself too seriously. I just have fun and enjoy myself, you know?
Well, I mean, the People Speak is about all about guests who are trying to make a difference for the better. And I'm pleased to believe that, I mean, to know that you have such an involvement with charities.
Yeah.
Tyler, you...
Go ahead. You know, the one thing with me is that I am very lucky to do what I do. I mean, let's face it. And I give back by helping out with charities and donating and things like that. It's and it's just fantastic to, you know, if you go down to like the Ronald McDonald House and do events for them, or Lily Claire or the Heart Foundation, and to see these kids, it's just fantastic to see a smile on their face on you know, on kids that normally wouldn't have the opportunity to, with the things that are going on in their lives.
That's got to be so amazing to be a fan of yours, and you come in and you're doing something for them. I mean, do you get to meet the children and spend time with them? Or?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, it's I guess I'm a people person. I just like to be around people and the kids and that, and it's. It's just fantastic to see the smiles on their faces and you know, to talk with them and spend some time with them.
Okay. Well, do you have, I have to say, Tyler, you're not only talented in many ways, but you also have done so much to do with charities. I mean, you have so many. You even have, like, your favorites. I mean, it appears to be doing the mask of Michael Myers has a heart of gold. I mean, seriously.
Don't tell anybody
it's
that.
Amazing.
Don't tell anybody that. The gimmick will be up.
Well, I think we have millions of listeners, so I don't know if I
Uh-oh.
Can stop that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is an international show, so I think you just let the world know.
Yeah, we let the cat out of the bag. Oh, well.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, I mean, I've been very lucky to, I've been very lucky to be able to play some phenomenal characters, you know, and like with Sabretooth and King Ajax and Troy and now Michael Myers, you know, and it's just through that people expect me to be different when they do talk to me and things like that. Like the Mike from California said, you know, hey, it's just it's about a business. I mean, I don't really go around killing people and doing stuff like that. But
you don't?
Just no, just on the weekends. You know,
okay.
I might get into a little bit.
Yeah,
I might get into a little bit tomorrow night, but you know, just a little bit.
Oh my God! Please don't show up at my door. Please don't show up at my door with a mask.
Where do you live?
A 6'8" man. Oh no! Then that would be scary. Can you?
I do have the costume. I do have the costume, you know. My kids want me to actually wear it while I take them trick or treating, and I'm like, no, I don't want to freak out the neighborhood, you know.
Oh my gosh! Are you
Wouldn't
serious?
Wouldn't that be intense?
Do it! Oh my God, do that! That would be the coolest. I'm serious. Oh my gosh, that would be like some amazing memory for your kids. They would freak out. Oh my gosh, you have an opportunity to blow their minds. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. I keep my, you know, some memorabilia for myself and stuff like that. I've got the whole Troy costume and things like that, but that would be a little too cold to be wearing on Halloween night. So it'd have to be
Michael
Myers.
The Troy costume might make a few people happy.
Well,
let's see.
Not so much, because it'd be kind of a little too chilly.
Oh, okay, well.
But, yeah. So it'd have to be Michael Myers.
Do you have memories that she'll take away, or a child you just touch their life or her life that you'll never forget?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's several of them. There's a little girl with Down syndrome that I met, and she was just a fantastic sweetheart, and she sang for me and gave me a big hug.
Wow.
And it was just fantastic, you know. And when you see the struggles that children like that have to go through in life, it makes me just feel, you know, a lot of people take their lives for granted, and you see something like that and see them making the most of their lives, it's just phenomenal, you know.
Exactly. I just think that people that you help, or it just makes a big imprint on their life. Huge imprint. I mean, can you imagine the impact she made? I mean, it's probably an incredible impact.
It's
the smallest thing can make such an impact in someone's life.
Yeah, you know, it's, I guess the way people see me, in the way, you know, as being an actor and being in all these
mm-hmm.
movies and stuff like that, you know, for them to just get to say hi or whatever, it's something. But I mean, like I say, hey, I'm just a normal guy doing what I love to do and doing what I've always wanted to do, and I'm just very lucky to be able to have the opportunity to do it, you know. And if people want to get in touch with me on my MySpace, you know, just go to Tyler Main and type in any questions. I try and answer them all, but you know.
Oh wow, you do that? That's awesome. I mean,
yeah.
you have the TylerMain.com, which I went to.
Yeah, TylerMain.com, and then there's also on MySpace, I'm under Tyler Main.
Okay.
And a picture of me. And
excellent.
People can go on there and ask me, you know, whatever questions and things like that, and I will answer them as quick as I can.
Awesome. Do you see yourself as doing roles without the mask, or disguising, makeup, or outfits, just playing a regular person?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've had the ability to do that with, you know, things like How to Make a Monster and stuff like that. And it's, I enjoy doing it, and hopefully I'll get some more opportunities to do that in the near future. You know, I don't see myself as playing a love interest anytime soon, but, you know.
Why not?
But hey, it could be a romantic comedy. I could fall in love with a beautiful midget girl, and you know who knows.
Oh no.
It could work, right? I mean, there's probably somebody writing that script right now as we speak.
Now there's a man you can really look up to.
Wow, that's a good tagline.
Okay, so what do you love best? I mean, you can do so many things. I mean, what do you love best, acting, wrestling, or stunt work?
Well, you know, I mean, when I do the acting, I do a lot of my own stunts. I draw the line at falling off of buildings or things like that, getting lit on fire. So I have, you know, I have a stunt double that does do all those things for me. But, you know, I'd have to say the acting, you know. You're getting to play the character and show a storyline arc from start to finish. It's fantastic to be able to do that.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, I don't know. I'd love to see something written with your acting, wrestling, and just, you know, everything. And you just being you. I don't know, I'd love to see that. Okay, we have Noah from Iowa on the line to ask you a question.
All right, go ahead, Noah.
Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Oh, pretty good. I was wondering, I know you've been in a bunch of movies there with Rob Zombie directing, and I was wondering, what do you see in his, like, creative process that he gives to all you guys? Because the actors are always so freaky in those movies. And what does he do to get you guys all hyped up?
Well, you know, I mean, Rob is a phenomenal horror fan. He loves horror movies, and he loves to see them done right. He wrote a fantastic script, and the thing is, him being a performer himself, he realizes you have to give the actor kind of free rein. You don't want to bind them down with too much stuff. So he lets you kind of create and develop your own character to a certain degree, and you know, you'll be doing your things, and if he wants to see something different, he'll be like, you know, okay, let's just try this way. So he helps with the creative process. He doesn't hinder it in any way. Like some directors come in and say, okay, you're doing this, and you're going to do it this way. He's not like that. So, and as far as finding the freaky people, so to speak, that you said, he's seen the people in several different films and stuff like that, and he's found the people that he wants to work with.
No, but he definitely seems to like working with you. He's got three different movies under your belt now.
Two.
Two.
Yeah, okay. I just did The Devil's Rejection now, Halloween.
I was thinking 2001 Maniacs. And then, but, okay, cool. That answered my question.
All right, man. Have a good
Thank
one.
You.
So, who are you into politics? I mean, do you have any favorites that's running for president?
Well, being from Canada, I don't get to vote, so I guess my
but
opinion really doesn't
kind of watch.
Much. No,
your opinion does matter.
Well, you know, I guess that was my way of saying, no, I didn't want to talk about politics.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
I couldn't tell you. I mean, everybody has their. It's so tough. I mean, anytime the country picks a president, they pick someone, they don't live up to all their expectations, and then everybody's like, "Ooh, get them out of there." So, I mean, it happens to them all. So who knows who to
pick? Oh yeah, exactly. As soon as they get in. As soon as they get in, they get trashed. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's either because they made false promises or, you know, who knows?
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so, Tyler, your career is so expanded. What should we expect from you in the future? Are you going to be writing, directing, or producing? Is there something
coming up that we should
know about?
I have a project that I'm very passionate about that I'm going to be developing right away. I just signed with a new management company, and they're very interested in dealing with it. So I'm going to be talking with a friend of mine actually day after tomorrow about the writing of it and seeing what we can come up with. So hopefully I'll be doing some producing pretty quick and creating projects.
Excellent. Excellent. I loved it. I would look forward to seeing that. That's awesome. That is awesome. So are you, so you're going to be the governor of California? I mean, you could take Schwarzenegger on for it. I really think you could take him on.
I tell you, I wouldn't want to do that job. It's a thankless job. Any politician has a thankless job, you know, so I want to stay as far away from that stuff as possible.
I can imagine. I have to say that this has been such a pleasure. I don't know, you're so much more of, I don't know, you're so multifaceted. I mean, you're not only an actor, you have talents, you're modest, you're kind.
Well, thank you. Now
so,
I'm blushing.
So introspective.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the modesty just really comes through. And cheers to you on all the charity work.
Oh, thank
Seriously,
you.
Cheers to you.
You know, they're all good causes, and one of my favorites is the Heart Foundation, you know, because I lost my father a few years back to cancer, and he had a heart attack too. And so my two favorites are the Cancer Foundations and the Heart Foundations.
Oh, okay, because, yeah, my father has something going on with the Cancer Foundation too. He does some things. I did a fundraiser one time as Marilyn Monroe for the Heart Association. Now that was a trip. I don't know. It was funny. It was so funny. Oh my gosh. There was a personator of Michael Jackson, another personator of Elvis. So between the three of us.
So did you sing Happy Birthday to the President?
Huh?
Did you sing Happy Birthday to the President? You know that whole famous.
I did.
You did. See, how did I guess?
Yes, I really did.
How did I guess?
Oh, man, it was funny. It was good. But I just have to thank you again. This is so, I really appreciate this. I really appreciate you coming in. We'd like to thank Telemy. Oh, my gosh, it was just wonderful. This was wonderful. I'd like to thank Tyler Main for being our guest on The People Speak. And please catch Rob Zombie's film Halloween, starring our guest at Theater Near You. Also, Tyler's website is tylermain.com. Join us next Tuesday with guest Danielle Shenandoah, Native activist. That's Tuesday, 7:30 to p.m. Central and 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern. Thanks, everyone. See you next time.
Good night, everybody.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea by the relief of I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering how this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island. Redwood forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.